We are beginning Daf Tei Zayin on Mid Beis, one line before the bottom, Lahach Gisa Miya Tivshot. The Gemara is discussing the Shaila of whether Avir Mizbeach Ki Mizbeach Dami or not. The Shaila is concerning the Halacha which we have learned of Mizbeach Mekadishim Olu Lu Yerdu. We learned that if something is placed on the Mizbeach, even though it's Gosel, then the Halacha is that it is not taken down from the Mizbeach. The Shaila is if it is not actually resting on the Mizbeach, but is in the airspace of the Mizbeach, do we apply this halacha of im olu lo yerdu or not? Do we say that if it's in the airspace of the Mizbeach, but that too is considered to be that it's resting on the Mizbeach and it still has the halacha of im olu lo yerdu? Or do we say that if it's in the airspace of the Mizbeach, that's not considered to be on the Mizbeach concerning this halacha, and the halacha will not be im olu lo yerdu? To the contrary, even if it was on the Mizbeach, but it was then lifted from the Mizbeach and is now in the airspace of the Mizbeach, we'll say that it's considered to be yarut, it's considered to have been taken off the Mizbech, and the halacha will be that we don't place it back on the Mizbech, because the halacha is that something that was taken off from the Mizbech is not put back. Says the Gemara, Lahach Gisa Miotivshon, we should in any case bring a proof to that side of the question, the Avir Mizbech Ki Mizbech Domi, that the Avir, the space of the Mizbech, has the din of the Mizbech itself, that we apply the halacha of Imolu Lo Yerdu not only to the surface, actually something resting on the Mizbech, but also to the space of the Mizbech. The reason the Gemara words it in this way, L'hach Gisa Miya Tivshayt, is because before the Gemara attempted to prove from a case of an Oilas Ha'oif that Avir Mizbeach Lav to Mizbeach Domi. And the Gemara pushed away that proof, and now the Gemara says to the contrary, let's bring a proof L'hach Gisa to the other side, that Avir Mizbeach is to Mizbeach Domi. What is the proof? The Isal Kadaitach Avir Mizbeach Lav to Mizbeach Domi, because if you will say that Avir Mizbeach is not like the Mizbeach, Daf Peches, then Chatas Ha'oif that a chatas ha'oif which is possible, and to which we will apply the halacha of im olu lo yerdu, and that will enable us to be mazeh, to sprinkle the dam on the side, on the wall of the mizbeach, heichi mazeh midoma, how will he be able to sprinkle the dam on the wall of the mizbeach? In order to do so, he has to distance himself from the mizbeach, has to lean over the side and distance it somewhat from the mizbeach, so that he should be able to sprinkle it on the wall of the mizbeach. In that case, if we say that Avir Mizbeach Lav Ki Mizbeach Domi, it's Yorud. As soon as he takes it off the surface of the Mizbeach and leans over the sides and distances it from the wall of the Mizbeach, then it's Yorud, it's considered to be have been taken off from the Mizbeach, if we say Avir Mizbeach Lav Ki Mizbeach Domi, and then the halacha is that once it's Yorud, that apostle is not to be brought on the Mizbeach, so we won't be able to sprinkle the dam on the Mizbeach. So how are we to apply the halacha of him olu lo yerdu to achatas ha'oit? And achatas ha'oit, the only item which is placed on the mizbech, is in fact the dam. This is done in two stages. First, the hazah of the dam, the sprinkling of the dam, and then that which is left in the korban is squeezed, mitzui, is squeezed on the wall of the mizbech. And the Gemara is asking, how can we do this first stage of hazah, hechimaza midoma? He has to go over the side and distance the oit from the wall of a Mizbeach in order to sprinkle it on the wall of a Mizbeach, and this is Avir Mizbeach. If we say Avir Mizbeach, Lav Ki Mizbeach, so then it becomes Yorud, and no longer can this be done to the Chatas Ha'oif, which is Pasul. Bishleim explains the Chofetz Chaim, if we say that Avir Mizbeach Ki Mizbeach Domi, even though he has to lean over the side and distance it somewhat from the Mizbeach, it's still above the space of the Mizbeach because it's above the Amah of Yesod. There's that Amah of Yesod which protrudes beyond the space of the top or upper part of the Mizbeach. And even though he's leaning over the side, he's still above the airspace of the Amah Yesod. To obtain a clearer picture of this, one should see the diagram in Dandav Samach Beis Omid Beis, which gives a bird's eye view of the three parts of the Mizbech, the Gaga Mizbech, the top of the Mizbech, and then the Amah Soivev, that Amah protrusion, which is lower down on the Mizbech, three Amahs down from the top of the Mizbech, and then, more towards the bottom, the Amah Yesod, that additional protrusion of an Amah. This is all considered to be part of the Mizbech, and if we say Avir Mizbech, Mizbech Domi, then it is still considered to be on the Mizbech, because it's above the airspace of the Amah Yesod. But if we say that Avir Mizbech, Lav Ki Mizbech Domi, since he has to lean over and distance himself from the wall of the Mizbech, it's not on the surface of the Mizbech anymore, it's not actually resting on the Mizbech, it's only above, it's in the airspace of the Mizbech, because it's in the airspace of the Amah Yesod, then we should say that if we say Avir Mizbech, Lav Ki Mizbech Domi, that it's a Yorud, and we can't apply the halacha of him olu lo yerdu. The Chofetz Chaim explains more fully as well that halacha of a chatas ha'oif is that the dam is to be placed on the lower part of the mizbech, below the chut ha'sikra, below the red line which divided the upper part of the mizbech from the lower part of the mizbech. And therefore, says the Chofetz Chaim, we shouldn't misunderstand the Gemara. He won't be able to remain on the gag of the mizbech, on the top of the mizbech, lean over and be mazeh from the dam on the wall of the mizbech, because then he would be mazeh the dam on the upper part of the wall of the mizbech. And the Chatas Oif Dazo has to be on the lower part of the Mizbeach. Rather, he will take down, the Kohen will go down to the Amas Oivit, he'll be on the Amas Oivit with this Chatas Oif Psula, and from there he will lean over and be Maza the Dam beneath the Chuta Sikra, which is an Amah lower down from the Soivik. So he'll be able to lean down and be Maza the Dam under the Chuta Sikra on the lower part of the Mizbeach. But however, he will still be above the Chatas Oif will at all times be in the airspace of the Mizbech because it's above the Amas Soivet. If we say Avra Mizbech, Mizbech Dami, that's alright. It's still considered to be that it's on the Mizbech and Halach is still in Molu Yerdu, so we can go ahead with this Hazah. But if we say Avra Mizbech, Lavka Mizbech Dami, even though it's above the airspace of the Amas Soivet, but it's not resting on the Mizbech, and therefore we should say that we can't apply the Halach of him Olu Lo Yerdu. The Gemara interjects to this question with another question. Sharp Psulim Hechi Zorek Luhu Midama. Other Psulim, about which we learned in our Mishnah that Rabbi Gamliel says that the Halacha of Imalu Yerdu applies also to the Dam, not only to the portion of the Korban which is burnt on the Mizbech, but also to the Dam of the Korban, that we say Imalu Yerdu when the Zrika is done, how is one able to be Zorek the Dam of other Korbanos which are Pasul? Also, it is necessary for him to lean over the edge and distance the Dam from the wall of the Mizbech in order to throw it towards the wall of the Mizbech. So if this is done, that's also only Aver Mizbech, and from that too we should be able to bring a proof that Aver Mizbech and Mizbech, because otherwise we can't apply the Halacha of Imalu Yerdu to the Dam, as Rabbi Gamliel in the Mishnah did. Says the Gemara in answer on both of these questions, Demagluhu, that will say that instead of distancing himself from the wall of the Mizbech, he'll touch it directly to the wall of the Mizbech, both in the case of the Chatas Oif Psula, and in the case of other Korbanos to which we apply the Halacha of Imalu Yerdu to the Dam, according to Rabbi Gamliel in the Mishnah. In other words, he'll go to the side, and without it actually distancing it at all from the Mizbech, he'll put it immediately on the wall of the Mizbech. So it will at all times be on the surface of the Mizbech, and not merely in the Aver of the Mizbech. The Gemara asks that this is impossible. Ho hazahi, do you call this hazah? In the case of a chatas oif, where what has to be done is hazah, that it has to be sprinkled on the wall of the mizbech, do you call this sprinkling? Mitzuihi, this is mitzui. This is like the second part which is done to the chatas oif, which is to squeeze out the dam on the mizbech. This is not hazah, this is mitzui. And this can't be the way that we fulfill the mitzvah of hazah. And in the case of other Korbanos, ha zrika, you call this zrika, you call this throwing the dam towards the Mizbech, shvichahi, this is pouring. That's something which is done to the leftovers of the dam, that it's poured on the wall of the Mizbech, but this is not zrika. But oiden, in addition to this, even if you don't want to call this mitzui or shvicha, but still, derech hazah bekach, is this the way of doing hazah? Even if we don't call it mitzui, but it's still not hazah. Derech zrika bekach, in the case of other korbanos, maybe we don't call it shvicha exactly, but do you call this the way that zrika is done? Is this a way to fulfill the mitzvah of zrika? So certainly that can't be. It has to be that he distances the dam, in the case of the chatas ha'if, he distances the bird from the wall of the Mizbech so that he can sprinkle it on the wall of the Mizbech. In the case of the dam, he has to distance the dam and its kli from the wall of the Mizbech in order to throw it on the wall of the Mizbech. He can do this while he is on the Mizbech and lean over and distance it with his hand and throw it back towards the wall of the Mizbech, but he still has to take it off the surface of the Mizbech. And this is the case of Avir Mizbech because it's above the Am Yisoid. Ravashi said, if he's holding it on the top of the Mizbech, if he's holding this item about which we are discussing whether there's a din of Im Ololo Yerdu, the Avir HaMizbech, if he himself is holding it on the top of the Mizbech and he is standing on the top of the Mizbech, on the surface of the Mizbech, then Hachinami, then you're right. You've proven from here that we do say that it is still considered to be on the Mizbech. And that is not our question of Avir Mizbech, Mizbech Domir not. Kika Omar, when did we say, in other words, when did we have a question whether Avra Mizbech is Kimizbech Domi or not? To Talanhu Bekanya, that he was standing on the floor. He wasn't on the Mizbech. The Kohen was not on the Mizbech. He was standing on the floor. And he hung this item, Bekanya, on a long stick, on a long reed, and it is on the, above the airspace of the Mizbech. My, what is the din in such a case? Do we say that Avra Mizbech Kimizbech Domi or not? Take, and this remains a question. In other words, what Ravashi is explaining is that it's true. You have proven that in a case where the Kohen himself is on the Mizbech and he takes the item about which we are discussing, whether there should be Halacha of Imalu Yerdu or not, and he leans it over the edge of the Mizbeach, and now it's on the airspace of the Mizbeach, since he himself is standing on the Mizbeach, we consider this to be on the Mizbeach. Even though the item itself is in the Aver of the Mizbeach, but it goes after the person, after the Kohen who's holding it. And since the Kohen is actually on the Mizbeach itself, this too is considered to be on the Mizbeach, it's not considered to have been taken off the Mizbeach. And that was not our question. Our question is only in a case where the Kohen himself is not standing on the Mizbeach. The Kohen is standing on the floor of the Azara, and he has a long stick and he's holding an item on top of the Mizbeach, and it itself is not resting on the Mizbeach. Do we say that to such an item applies the halacha of him olu yerdu or not? But in a case where the Kohen himself is standing on the Mizbeach, such as the case of a Chatas Ha'oif Psula, where there the Kohen is on the Mizbeach and he will have to lean over the side. He's on the Soiviv of the Mizbeach, he'll have to lean over the side. And it's true, he will have to distance the Oilas Ha'oif, the Chatas Ha'oif somewhat. But nonetheless, he is the entire time standing on the Soiviv itself. There it definitely would be still considered to be on the Mizbeach. The same applies to the other Korbanos as well, that according to Rambam Gamliel, we say Im Olu Lo Yerdu, and this means that if it was brought on the Mizbeach, then we can do the Zrika. How do we do the Zrika? That the Kohen will remain on the Mizbeach, and he will lean over, distance his hands somewhat, and do the Zrika towards the wall of the Mizbeach. That is definitely considered to be on the Mizbeach. Our question, Aver Mizbeach, Mizbeach, is when there's only Aver Mizbeach, where it's not a Kohen who is actually on the Mizbeach who's holding it. To the contrary, the one who's holding it is on the bottom, and it's being hung on a stick and on the airspace of the Mizbeach. And this remains a question. There's, the Chofetz Chaim points out to a difficulty in Rashi, in the question of the Gemara, when the Gemara interjected and said, Sharp Sulim Hechi Zorach Luhu Midoma. That don't only ask your question concerning the case of Chatas Ha'oif Psula, you can ask your question about other Psulim, other Korbanos which are possible, says Rashi, because according to Rabbi Gamliel, in the Mishnah we learned that there is a halacha, that the halacha of Imalu Lo Yerdu applies also to the dam of the Korban. It's not only Haroi Le'ishim, it's not only that which is to be burnt on the Mizbech to which we apply the halacha of Imalu Lo Yerdu. It's also to the dam which is to be placed on the Mizbech that we apply the halacha of Imalu Lo Yerdu. So here Rashi said that that question of Sharp Psulim is according to Rabban Gamliel. We see from Rashi clearly points out to Chofetz Chaim that the first question of Chatas Ha'oif Psula Hechi Mazi Midorma was not only according to Rabban Gamliel. Rashi didn't mention there that that question is according to Rabban Gamliel, that we apply the halacha of Imolu Lo Yerdu to Dam. On the second question, the Gemara asked that Sharp Sulim Hechi Zorak Lo Midorma, Rashi said, according to Rabban Gamliel, who holds that the Din of Imolu Lo Yerdu applies also to Dam. But on the first question, we see from Rashi that the question of Chatas Ha'oif Psula Hechi Mazi Midorma, that was according to everyone. And the Chofetz Chaim asked, why is that so? If we say, according to the other Shitas HaTanoim from Yeshua in the Mishnah, if we say that there is no halacha of Imolu Lo Yerdu concerning the dam, only concerning that which is ro'i li'ishim, that which is to be burnt on the Mizbeach, then why would there be a halacha of Imolu Lo Yerdu concerning the dam of the Chatas Ha'oif Psula? There all there is the dam, we're talking about the dam, and there we see from Rashi that the question is according to everyone. Why should this be so? If there is no halacha concerning the dam of Imolu Lo Yerdu, then there shouldn't be a halacha of Imolu Lo Yerdu concerning the dam of the Chatas Ha'oif Psula either. So why over there does it go according to everyone? Why didn't Rashi say there also that it's only according to Rambam Gamliel? Says the Chofetz Chaim that we see from Rashi that the Chofetz Chaim suggests that we'll have to say that since in a Chatas Ha'oif, the only item which is brought on the Mizbeach is the dam, unlike the other Korbanos where something is also burnt on the Mizbeach, here this is the only thing which is placed on the Mizbeach is the dam. The rest is then eaten by the Kohanim. That will say that even according to Rabbi Yeshua, that ordinarily the din of Imolu Lo Yerdu applies only to that portion which is burnt on the Mizbeach, since here there is no portion which is burnt on the Mizbeach, he will agree that the din of Imolu Lo Yerdu will apply to the dam of the Chatas Ha'oif, which is possible. The Chofetz Chaim says, apparently we'll say that there is a Hekish which teaches us, Zois HaTorah, which teaches us that Halacha of Imolu Lo Yerdu applies to all Korbanos, and since here it can't be applied to anything which is burnt on the Mizbeach, because there is no portion which is burnt on the Mizbeach, we'll say that even Rabbi Yeshua will agree that in this case it will apply to the dam. That's why Rashi did not say concerning the Gemara's question of Chatas Ha'oif Psula Hechi Mazi Midorma that this goes according to Rabban Gamliel. Here everyone will agree, since that's the only item which is placed on the Mizbeach, that we are to apply the Halacha of Imolu Lo Yerdu to the dam. On the question of the Gemara asked Sharp Sulim Hechi Zorak Lo Midorma, which is speaking about other Korbanos, there Rashi said, according to Rabban Gamliel in our Mishnah, who holds that we apply the Halacha of Imolu Lo Yerdu to dam. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, we don't have this question, because according to Rabbi Yeshua, there is no din of Imolu Lo Yerdu concerning the dam of other Korbanos. In the previous Mishnah, we learned that clay shoris are Mekadesh, that clay shoris have a halacha to sanctify that which is placed within them to make it into a Kedushas Haguf, Once it becomes Kodesh, B'Kedusha, Saguf, it can no longer be redeemed, and it becomes subject to certain psulim which did not apply before. Lon Yoitse, it becomes possible through a Tvul Yoim. So this is done by placing it in a Kli Shoris. This is called Kiddush Kli. The Kli Shoris sanctifies it, makes it Kodesh, B'Kedusha, Saguf. The sanctification through the Kli Shoris, this Kiddush Kli, is also a necessary prerequisite for certain items in the Korbanos. For example, the Zrikas Hadam has to be done after Kabbalah. Kabbalah is one of the Avodas, receiving the Dam of the Korban which was Shechted, and this means receiving the Dam in a Kli Shoris, thereby sanctifying the Dam and making it ready for Zrikas. So that Kiddush Kli of the receiving of the Dam in a Kli Shoris is a prerequisite for the Zrikas Hadam. Also, in the case of a mincha, it is necessary for the mincha to be placed in a Kli Shoris, and then wait later when the kmitz is taken, as we mentioned once before, the koimitz then has to be placed in a Kli Shoris in order to sanctify it and make it ready for its haktorah, for being burnt on the mizbech. So this kiddush kli is what sanctifies the item and gives it kiddusha saguf, and also in certain cases, it is a prerequisite for the korban. Says the Mishnah, klei halach mekadshin es halach, the vessels which are used for liquid, such as the bowls and basins which are used for the dam, for the wine, or for the shemen, they are mekadesh esalach. They sanctify liquids. They'll make those liquids into something which is kodesh, kedush esaguf. Umidos yovish mekadesh esayovish, and the measures which are used for dry items, such as Rashi says, the measures of the isorin and the half of an isorin, which are used for measuring the flour of the menachas. The measure of isorin is used for measuring all of the menachas. The minimum size of a mincha is an isorin, and those menachas that are bigger, they were measured by measuring the isorinus one after another, measuring an isorin at a time to the amount of isorinus which is needed for that particular mincha. And the other measure was that of a half of isorin, which is used to measure the chavitin of the kohen gadol, which was brought by the kohen gadol every day, which was a half an isorin in the morning and a half an isorin in the afternoon. So there was a measure of a chatzi isorin, which was used to measure the chavite koyin gadol. So those midos yovish are mekadshes es hayovish, those measures which are used for something dry, they sanctify that which is dry. Ein kli halach mekadeshes es hayovish, a vessel which is used for liquids does not sanctify that which is dry, because it's not meant for that purpose. And the Gemara will explain that we're speaking about items which are actually used for measuring liquids. So they are used exclusively for liquids and not for dry goods, and therefore they cannot sanctify that which is dry. The lo yovish mekadesh es halach, and that which is used for dry does not sanctify the liquids, because it's not meant for that purpose, and therefore does not accomplish the kiddush kli. The Meforshim, many of the Meforshim speak about why the Mishnah uses the word klei halach, the vessels which are used for liquids, and concerning yovish, it uses the word midos yovish, the measures of that which is dry. Rashi says, as we mentioned before, that when the Mishnah says midos yovish, it's referring specifically to those two measures, the measure of an isor and the measure of a chatz isor, which were used for measuring the flour for the menachas. And the reason the Mishnah is only speaking about these two is because other items, other kalim, which had to be used for the dry items, a kli lach, as the Gemara says, could also be used. In other words, these same bowls and basins that were used for the liquids could also be used for items which were dry. It's only these two which were needed for measuring the flour that they had to have something specific which was for these dry measures, and therefore that's all the Mishnah is referring to. So it calls it midos yovish because it's referring to these two measures. Tosfos asks on Rashi that we find other things which were used only and exclusively for things which were dry, such as the kaf and the machta, which were used for the ketores. Those were used only for dry things and not for anything liquid, so why doesn't the Mishnah mention them? And then the Mishnah should have used the word kalim and not the word midos, because it doesn't only speak about these measures. That's what Tosfos says in Rashi, and Tosfos says a different shot from Rashi. The Tiferes Yisrael suggests that the reason is because in the case of yovish, nothing is ever placed in a kli shoris which is not measured. In the case of the flour, for the menachos, of course, it has to be measured. The ketores, which is placed into a kli, is a specific amount. The mincha is a specific amount which is placed into a kli. Therefore, it's referred to as midas yovish because it always is dealing with something which has a specific measure. Mashenki, in the case of the vessels, in the liquid vessels, the vessels which hold liquids, there, although many of them are a specific amount, such as the shemen and the yayin, those are a specific amount, but we have also within, among those kalim, we have also those items which were used to receive the dam when the korban is shechted. There is not a specific amount which is received from the carbon. It's whatever falls into it from the shekeling of the carbon. That's the amount that the kli received. So it's not a specific measured amount. Therefore, the vessels which hold liquids are called kalim. They're not called midas because they're not always holding a measured and designated amount. Therefore, says the Tiferes Yisrael, that the measure that these kalim of liquid are called klei halach, because some of them are not holding something which is measured at all. Masha'enk and the Yovish is always holding something which is measured, even those kalim which are not actually used for measuring, but they're holding something which was measured, and therefore they're referred to by the Mishnah as midos Yovish. Says the Mishnah, another halacha, klei ha-kodesh shenikvu, the vessels of kodesh, these klei sharet, which had holes in them, and therefore this ruined them somewhat, im oisin behen me'ein melachton shahoyu oisin behen shleimit, if one can still do with them something similar to the kind of work that they were doing when they were whole. In other words, although perhaps they're not as perfect as they were, but they can still be used. In the case of something which is dry, even if it has a small hole, it can still be used. Even in the case of something which is holding liquids, it depends where the hole is. If the hole is of a size or in a place where it does not completely make it impossible to use it for its previous use, then mekadshin, then they are still mekadsh. They still have a din of klei shoreth, and they are still mekadsh. They will accomplish kiddush kli. The imlav and mekadshin, but if they can no longer be used for their previous use because of their holes, then even if he did put something in them, ain mekachin, they are not mekadosh because they are not fit for use. Another halacha says in the Mishnah, v'kulan ein mekadshin el v'kodesh, and all of these klei shoreth which are mekadosh, which bring kedushas haguf on the item which is placed within them, they are only mekadosh v'kodesh, says Rashi in the Azara. The kiddush kli can't be done someplace else, it can't be done outside or in the Har HaBayis, it can only be done in the Azara. That's where kiddush kli can be accomplished. In the Mishnah we learn that a kli halacha, vessel which is used for liquids, does not sanctify yovesh. Says the Gemara, Omar Shmuel, Shmuel said, lo shanu ela midos. This is only speaking about measures of liquids. These are vessels which are used for measuring liquids. It is concerning them that the Mishnah is speaking about and telling us that if someone puts in them yovesh, that they do not become sanctified because they're not fit for yovesh. Aval mizrakos mekachin, but mizrakos basins, which are used, although they are normally used for lach, they're used for liquids, these basins in which the dam was received, they can be mekadosh yovish as well, because since they're merely used to hold lach, they can serve to hold yovish as well. It's only those things which are used for measuring liquids, those are not the same measures which are used for yovish. Their kedusha, explains Rashi, is for measuring. They're not used for stam holding something, they're used for measuring these items, and since they're used for measuring liquids, they're not fit for measuring solids, and therefore they cannot sanctify those solids which are placed in them. Mashanking something which whose use is just to hold the liquids, it can be used to hold solids as well, and therefore it will sanctify the yovish. Now we learn this from a pasuk. Shnemar, as it says in the pasuk, Shneim Leim Soilus, it says concerning the Chanukah Samizbeach, the korbanos that the Nesiim brought, it says in the pasuk, Karas Kesef Achas Shloishim Umeya Mishkala, it says that they brought a bowl of silver, which was 130 weighed 130 shekel, Mizrak Echad Kesef Shivim Shekel B'Shekel HaKodesh, one basin, which of silver, which weighed 70 shekel, and Shneihem Leim Soiles Blula V'Shem L'Mincha, both of them were full with flour, which was mixed with oil for a mincha. So we see in this pasuk that we're dealing with items with a mazrek and with a ka'ora, which are ordinarily klei halach, the ordinary vessels which are used to hold liquids, and still we see that they were used here to sanctify the mincha. In them was brought the mincha b'lulu b'shem, the mincha that was mixed with oil. So we see that those items which are merely used for holding liquids can be used for being mekadosh solids as well. Said to Ravina, how can we prove it from this pasuk? Mincha lachahi. The mincha that was brought in these vessels was not completely dry. It wasn't flour alone. It was flour, as it says in the pasuk, which was already mixed with the oil. So that's lachahi. That's also wet. And that's why these vessels were used for it and they're considered to be fit for this item. But we don't see from this that they're fit to sanctify something which is totally dry. Ravina told him, this is only necessary. The chiddush of this is the part of it which is still dry. In other words, when the mincha is mixed with oil, part of it is not completely mixed, part of it remains completely dry, and still we see that this was able to sanctify it. So we see that this can sanctify even that which is completely dry. Iboy Seymour, if you wish, we can say that mincha l'gabidam ki yovish tomi, that in mincha, even though it's mixed with oil, but in comparison to blood for which this vessel is actually normally used, the mazrik is used normally for dam, it's also like something which is dry. It's used for carrying actual liquids, for holding the dam. And here we see that it can be used for a mincha, so even though that particular mincha at that point is mincha blula, is blula b'shemen, it's still in comparison to dam, it's considered to be something which is dry, and if we see that it's fit for that, then it's fit for something which is totally dry as well. And we'll say that if something totally dry is placed in it, that it too will accomplish a kiddush kli. The Gemara continues with some halachas concerning kiddush kli. Omar Shmuel, Shmuel said, klesharis ein mekadshin, klesharis are only mekadish, they only sanctify that which is placed in them, ela shleimen, only if they are complete. As we learned in our Mishnah, that if the klesharis had holes in it and it's no longer fit for its original use, then it is not mekadish. That's the halacha which Shmuel is repeating here and telling us that they are only mekadish when they are shleimen, when they are complete. If the kli itself is complete, ein mekadshin ela meleim, they only sanctify if they are full. And Rashi explains, it doesn't mean that the kli necessarily has to actually be full, but it means that the shear is full, that it has the correct amount which is needed for that particular item. For example, if we place a mincha in a kli sharis, it will only sanctify the mincha if the mincha is the complete shear of a mincha. If it's a half a shear of a mincha, if it's only half of an isaron, then the kli sharis won't be mekadeshit. But if it is a complete isaron, the kli sharis will be mekadeshit, in spite of the fact that it doesn't necessarily fill up the entire kli. That's what Rashi says is meant by meleia, not that the kli has to necessarily be full, but that the shear is a full shear. And mekachin elo mitoichin, a third halacha that they are only mekadish from inside. The Gemara will explain that this comes to exclude that which is heaped above the level of the kli itself. Amrilo, and some say that this is what Shmuel said. And mekachin elo shleimin umleim umibifnim, that they are only mekadish if the vessels are complete and if the shear is a complete shear umibifnim, and in the inside. Rashi, according to our Gerson, Rashi says that this means, bifni means ba'azara, like the halacha that we learned in our Mishnah, the klisharas are only makadish in b'koidish, only in the azara. My benayu, what's the nafkamina between these two lashonos of Shmuel? Certainly the second lashon also agrees that the klisharas is makadish, that which is mitoich, and that which is inside it. We're not going to say that it's makadish something which is on the outside. The Gemara says, yikim benayu b'rutse midas, that the nafkamina between them is that which is heaped, the heaping of the measure, that which is heaped above the actual level of the kli. According to the first lashon, Shmuel said that it is only mitoichon, only that which is within the kli which is mekudesh, but that which is heaped above the level of the kli won't be mekudesh because it's not actually within the kli. According to the second lashon, where Shmuel did not say this, Shmuel merely said mibifnim, which means in the azara, but he didn't mention this condition of mitoichon, we will say that it's mekadesh, that which is heaped above the level of the kli as well. In a braisa we learned, ein mekadshin elo shleimin umaleim umitoichan ubifnim, that the klisharas are only mekadish if the kalim themselves, the vessels, are complete, if it is a full shear umitoichan, and only that which is inside, which comes to exclude that which is heaped above the level of the kli, ubifnim, and only in the azara. The Sfasemis suggests that Rashi Dibur HaMaschil Elo Bifnim, which Rashi translates as Bazara, is really only speaking about this Braisa, where we learn both Mitoichon and Bifnim. But on the second Lashon of Shmuel, where Shmuel said Mi Bifnim, which is a slightly different word, Mi Bifnim means on the inside, there it does not mean in the Azara, but rather it means inside the Kli. So what Shmuel is expressing in the second Lashon is actually similar to that which he expressed in the first Lashon. The first Lashon was that he said Mitoichon, and the second Lashon he said Mi Bifnim, which also means inside the kli. And that's why the Gemara asks, "Mai b'nayu? What's nafkamina? How it's expressed? Whether the word used is mitoichan or mibifnim?" And that the Gemara answers that the nafkamina is birutse mid, that which heaps, the measure which is heaping above the level of the kli. According to the first lashon, the word mitoichan is used, which means which is actually within the kli, so it excludes that which is heaped above the level of the kli. According to the second lashon, Shmuel used the word mibifnim, which means inside, and that includes also that which is heaped above the level of the kli. That too is referred to as mibifnim. But both the expression mitoichan and mibifnim are basically expressing the idea that it is the inside, that which is inside of the kli, which is mekudesh. It's only on the braisa which says mitoichan and then says bifnim, on that Rashi is saying that there the bifnim means in the azara, as we learned in our Mishnah. Continues the Gemara, Rabasi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, loishanu, that which we have learned that it's only mekadesh if they are meleim, if it is the complete shear, we've only learned this, elasha'in da'afi lehoisik, that it's not in his mind to add on to the complete shear. In other words, he placed, for example, in a vessel, a mincha, which is not, does not have the full shear of an isaron of flour, does not have the full shear of shemen. Then we say that the klisharis is not mekadesh because it is not a complete shear. Abul da'afi lehoisik, but if he has in mind to add on to it, then rishon kodesh, then each one as it comes in kodesh is kodesh. Aval daita lehoisit, but if he has in mind to add on, to complete the shir, then rishon, rishon, kodesh, then each one by one, becomes kodesh. For example, he is to be mekadesh a minchas nesachim of three esrainim, the mincha of three esrainim, which is brought as a minchas nesachim for a par. So the total amount is three esrainim. So even though all he places at one time in the vessel is one esrain, since he plans to do all three, it's only that he's doing one by one, then immediately upon placing the first one, it will become Kaddish B'Kedushas Kli, the Kli will be Mekaddishit, because he is planning to complete the full shear. It's only where he places a mincha in the Kli, and it does not have the complete shear, he doesn't plan to finish, he doesn't plan to fill this shear, then we say that the Kli Shoras is not Mekaddish, something that is missing a shear. But if it's not missing the shear, merely he has not yet finished the shear, because he has to add on to it, then we say that it is Mekaddishit one by one, as it goes along. Continues the Gemara, Enkle Halach Mekadesh V'chuli. We learned in our Mishnah that a vessel which is used for liquids, and the Gemara had explained that this means items, klikalim, which are used for measuring liquids, they cannot be Mekadesh solid. Omer Rav Itamer Rav Asi, Rav in some say it was Rav Asi said, Ein Mekadshin Likorot, they are not Mekadesh in order to enable it to be brought as a korban. In other words, where the Kiddush Kli has to act as a prerequisite for Hakrava, this will not accomplish that Kiddush Kli which is necessary as a preparation for the Hakrava. For example, in the case of a Mincha, where we say that it has to have the Kiddush Kli, first of the Mincha and then of the Koimitz, in the case of the Dam, where we have to have the Kiddush Kli for the Dam before we can do the Zrika. If it's a Klei Halach, if it's a measure which is used for measuring liquid, and he uses that for the Mincha, it won't be Mekadosh the Mincha, Mincha won't be considered to be fully sanctified in order to prepare it for its hakrova. Av mekachin lipasul. However, it does sanctify it with a kedushas aguf to subject it to the halachas of psul of something which has already been mekudish with a kedushas aguf through a kiddush kli. We've learned before that the halacha of kiddush kli accomplishes that it is a kedushas aguf, that it can no longer be redeemed, and that it is subject to certain halachas of psul, of yoitze, lon, and being touched by a tful yoim, as Rashi mentions over here. So Rav or Rav Asi is saying a kiddush, although we say that a kli halach is not mekadosh, it doesn't sanctify that which is yovish because it's not fit for that particular vessel, this vessel is not fit for that item, it doesn't prepare it for hakrova if that is necessary to prepare it for hakrova, but it will nonetheless sanctify it in order to make it subject to the psulim of something which has a kiddush kli. So we don't say that this kiddush kli doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't accomplish in a positive way that which has to be accomplished to accomplish what is necessary as a preparation for the hakrova. But it does sanctify it with a kedushas aguf concerning those halachas of psul. Some say that that which was said by Rav or Rav Asi, that Ein Mekadshin Likorav or Mekadshin Lipasul, was said on the following, not in our Mishnah, but a completely different halach. We've learned Ein Mevi'in Menachos U'Nesachim. One does not bring Menachos or Nesachim, that means the wine offering, U'Minchas Behema, or the Mincha which goes along with the Behema, that means the Minchas Nesachim, which is brought together with the Nesachim, with the wine itself, along with a Korban, U'Bikurim nor Bikurim, Minha Meduma. We don't bring any of these items from Meduma. Meduma, Rashi translates, as it usually is translated, to be a mixture of chulin and truma. That is chulin into which truma has been mixed, and now the entire mixture, there's not enough to be mevatel the truma, and the entire mixture is now forbidden to be eaten by Yisrael. It can only be eaten by a koyan, just as truma itself. So we can't bring any of these items from meduma, even though meduma is something which can be eaten by a koyan. Says Rashi, nonetheless, we learn from a pasuk that any hakrova, any korban has to be mimashke Yisrael, has to be something that is fit for Yisrael, and this means that it's fit for Kol Yisrael, and if it's only fit for Koyanim, such as Truma or Meduma, then we say that it is excluded from the Pasuk of Mimashke Yisrael, and it is disqualified from being used as a Korban or being brought as Bikurim. And it is not necessary to say that if these items were Orla or Kilaya Kerem, which are Osir Bahano, the Kol Yisrael, that certainly they are excluded from being brought as a Korban or as Bikurim. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi and says that something that is fit for Koyanim is not excluded from Mashke Yisrael. Since it's permitted for some Yisrael, it's permitted for the Koyanim, it's not excluded from Mashke Yisrael, and it would be permitted to use it as a Korban. Rather, Tosfos says the word Meduma here does not mean a mixture mixture of truma and chulin. It means a mixture of those very items mentioned in the brisa of orla or kilaya kerem. So the brisa is saying that we cannot bring menachas, nesachim, and chasbeim or bikurim from a mixture of iser and heter, of orla kilaya kerem with heter, the ain sarach lemon. It's not necessary to say if it's purely orla or kilaya kerem that one cannot bring it. But in chanaim, something which is fit for kohanim is permitted to be brought. That's not disqualified from the pasuk of mashke yisrael. The machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. That's what the brisa says. And then the brisa says the imhevi loy kiddush, that if he did bring it, then it does not become sanctified because it's not fit to be sanctified. Omer Ravi, Taim Ravasi, according to this lashon, Rav or Ravasi said, loy kiddush likarev, aval kodesh lipasul, that it does not become sanctified to be makriv it. We can't be makriv these items on the mizbeach. But it does become sanctified to be considered pasul. In other words, when he places it in a kli shoreth, even though they are psul, nonetheless the kli shoreth is mekadesh with a kedushas haguf, in that we say that it is considered to be something which cannot be redeemed, and since it can't be redeemed, it's automatically pasul and will have to be burnt. So it becomes kodesh to be pasul. It's something which no longer can be redeemed since it had a kiddush kli, and therefore it is pasul and has to be burnt. Mashenkin, if we would say that the kiddush kli is completely meaningless, it could still be redeemed. But it's certainly not kodesh likar, it cannot be brought as a carbon. Rashi says that this will not be referring to bikurim. In bikurim, there is no kiddush kli at all. It's merely taken in a basket and placed next to the mizbech, and shnufa, it is waved, and then the kohanim eat it. So there's no kiddush kli at all. And also Rashi says there's no hakrava involving bikurim. Rather, he's referring to the other three items mentioned in this brisa. The Gemara now continues with some other halachas concerning the kli shoreth. The halachas of the following brisa are based on the idea of ein anias b'mokom ashiris. There is no acting in a manner of poverty in the place of great wealth. In other words, that in the Beis HaMikdash, one does not treat the items of the Beis HaMikdash the way that poor people treat their property, that is to fix them and to patch them. Rather, if something falls into disuse, it is discarded, and new items, new kelim, are then used. Says the Brisa, Tana Rabbanan, Klei Kodesh Shenikvu, Klei Kodesh which have holes. Ein Matichin Oisen, we don't melt them. Rashi says this means to melt the area around the hole so that the hole will be filled up. This can be done in a small hole. We don't do this. The Ein Matichin Lasechen Eber, and we don't melt into them lead in order to close up a hole. Nifkamu, if the vessels became ruined, presumably it means that they were badly dented. Ein Masaknan Oisen, we don't fix them. Sakin shenivgam ein mashchidan espimosa, a sakin which got a pigima, which was dented, we don't grind down its pigima. Now here Rashi says that this isn't speaking about a small pigima, which happens often to a knife, and then it has to be ground down in order to make it kosher for shchita, but it means that it was dented in a larger dent, which would make it recognizable if it is ground down. This is not done to the sakinim, which are klisharas, the sakinim in the Beis HaMikdash. Nishmata, if it became separated from its handle, if the blade of the knife came out of the handle of the knife, ein machzir noy, so we don't fix it by putting it back in its handle. Rather, we take a new one. Rabbi Shol says, sakin mitarefes hoysa b'mikdash, there was in the Beis HaMikdash a knife which was doing treifis, which often would become pogum, it would receive a small dent and make the shechita into a treifa. Now, as Rashi said, when this happened, they were allowed to grind it down and to fix the pegima. It's only a large pegima which one is not allowed to grind down. So this was done several times. However, it had a tendency to become treif. V'nimnu alecha koyanim, and the koyanim took account about it, v'gonzua, and they decided to hide it, to put it away, and not to use it anymore. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a brisa. Big day kahuna, these garments which are worn by the kohanim when they do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, and oisin oisa maisa machat, we do not make them with the work of a needle. In other words, they're not made by making material and then sewing them into the form of big day kahuna, ela maisa oireg. Rather, they are made by weaving. They are woven in their shape of big day kahuna. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, maisa oireg, it says that the big day kahuna are maisa oireg, that they are the work of weaving. Another halacha says the brisa, nisgalu, if they became soiled, ein mechabsin, we do not wash them, loy b'neser v'loy b'oil, neither with neser nor oil. These are two kinds of cleansing agents. So the brisa is now telling us this halacha. This again is halacha of ein anius b'mokam ashirus, that if they become soiled, we put them away. They are used for wicks in the Beis HaMikdash, but we no longer use them for big day kahuna. We don't wash them with neser and oil, and we bring new big day kahuna for the kohanim to use in their avoda. The Gemara, however, is medayek habamayim mechapsin. The brisa seems to be saying that we don't wash them with either of these two cleansing agents, but we wash them with water. Certainly, if they're soiled and we're going to wash them with water, that's even worse, because it won't even clean them well. It would be better to clean them with neser and oil and at least to clean them properly than to wash them with water and not to clean them properly at all. Omer Abaye, so Abaye explained, this is what the Braisa means to say by saying, Ein mechapsim loy b'neser v'loy b'oil. Hachi Gomer, this is what the Braisa means. Hugu b'mayim or limayim mechapsim loy b'neser v'oil. If they came to the stage, if they reached the stage of being soiled, where they can be cleaned with water, they're only slightly soiled, then you can wash them, and then you wash them even with neser and oil. The point is that they're not soiled to the extent where they cannot be cleaned merely with water, so they're not so completely soiled, and then they can be cleaned even with cleansing agents. On the base, hugu l'neser v'oil, afamayim e'mechabsim. But if they reach the stage where they can only be cleaned, they're so soiled that they can only be cleaned with cleansing agents, then you don't wash them with water either. Then you don't wash them at all. They're considered to be completely unusable. They're not washed, and rather they are put away. They're going to be used for wicks in the Beis HaMikdash, and we'll use new big day kahuna. So that's what the Mishnah means to say by ein mechabsim loy b'neser v'loy b'oil. It means we don't wash those items which need to be washed with cleansing agent, with detergent. But if it's something that's merely soiled to the extent that it could be cleaned with water, then we are allowed to wash it. The Yesh Amrim, and some say, reports the Braisa, ein mechabsim loy kol ikar, that you don't wash them at all. Even if they've only been soiled to the extent where they can still be cleaned with water, we don't wash them at all. She'ein anias b'mokam ashiris, because there is no poverty in the place of great wealth. Even though this is the time of the Tanakhama as well, but the Yesh Omrim is saying that this applies even in such a case, even where it's only reached the stage of being soiled where it can still be cleaned with water, still we apply this idea of Ananias Mokum Ashiras. There's no Ananias, no treating something in a poor way at all in the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, it is now to be used for wicks. It won't be used anymore as Big De Kahuna, and the Kleinim will get new Big De Kahuna. The Chofetz Chaim Lukutei Halachas, however, says that it's Mistaber that the Gemara is only speaking about a case where the garment in general has become soiled, but if it merely has drops of blood or oil on it, there certainly we will wash it, because otherwise we'd have to say that there's new Big Tikkun every day in the Beis HaMikdash. Certainly it's almost impossible for the Kohanim to go through the Avodah without getting some drops of blood or oil on their begodim. And the Chofetz Chaim is the diagram from the Lashon of the Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash Perek Ches, where the Rambam says that the begodim tsoyim, that begodim which are soiled, are not to be washed, rather they are used for wicks in the Beis HaMikdash, and new begodim are used. But begodim tsoyim means when the beged in general is soiled, not when it merely has a few drops of blood or oil. That can, in fact, be cleaned. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbana, we learned in a Braisa, Me'il Kulei Shel Tcheles Hoya, that one of the big dekahuna known as the Me'il, that's the upper garment of the Kohanim. The Ksoinus was the garment which they wore on the skin, and the Me'il was above that. Kulei Shel Tcheles Hoya, it was made entirely of Tcheles, as it says in the Pasuk, Shenemar Vayas Es Me'il Ha'Eifod Kliel Tcheles, that you shall make the Me'il, this coat, which is bound by the ephod, completely of tchelis, completely of wool, which is dyed blue with the tchelis. There are several opinions exactly what the me'il looked like. Rashi learns that the me'il, just as the ksoinus, was also in the form of what we would call an undershirt with sleeves, something which went all around the body and had sleeves. The ksoinus was worn against the skin, and this was worn on top. And it was made quilt. Tchelis is made entirely of blue wool. So this was also something with sleeves and which encompassed the body completely. Other Rishonim learned that it was more like a robe, something which was open in the front. And there are several shitas. One can see in Reb Aryeh Kaplan's The Living Torah, where he brings both a synopsis and illustrations of the various opinions concerning the Me'il. Upon him that, we do know that it was made completely of tchelis, completely of blue wool. Shulav Ketzet, how was its hem? How was the bottom of the Me'il made? Because it says in the Torah, in Parshas Tetzaveh, that we are to make remaine tchelis of our gomam betilah shani al shulav saviv, that we are to make pomegranate-like items of tchelis of blue wool, purple wool, and wool which is dyed crimson on its hem going around there, and pa'amoine zov besoicham saviv, and bells of gold also among them going around the bottom of the me'il. So Shulav Ketzet, how was the bottom, how was the hem of the me'il made? Maybe tchelis v'argomam v'selah shoni shizur, and he brings wool which is dyed tchelis, wool which is dyed argomam, which is dyed purple, v'selah shoni, and wool which is dyed crimson, with the crimson worm, shizurin, and our threads are twisted together to form one thick thread, v'oysa oysan kemin remainin shalipith chupim, and he makes these remainin that the Torah is speaking about in the form of pomegranates whose mouths have not yet opened. Rashi says this means young pomegranates, when they remain on the tree for a long time, they open up, but before that, they are closed. So he makes them in the form of pomegranates whose mouths are not yet open. Ukamin koinois shel knosois, or as the gears of the sheet is going to see from Rashi, is kulsois shibaroshe tinoikas, and in the form of cones which are like the make-believe helmets which are on the heads of young children. So they are a cone-like shape. So they look something like pomegranates, but they're also cone-like. Umevi shivim ushnayim zogin, and he brings 72 bells. These bells are made of gold. Shebehen shivim ushnayim invalin, that in these bells are 72 clappers. In other words, the bells are complete both with the outside and the inside, so it should actually make a sound. And he hangs on the me'il, 36 on one side and 36 on the other side. Rashi says that this means 36 in the front and 36 in the back. Rabbi Doisa says, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that the total was not 72, but rather 36. Shmoyne Esra Mitzadzeh, Shmoyne Esra Mitzadzeh, 18 on the one side and 18 on the other side. 18 in the front and 18 in the back. Omar Rabbi Yanini Bar Sosin. Rabbi Yanini Bar Sosin said, Ke machloikis kan, kach machloikis b'maris negoyim. Just as the machloikis over here, whether the total amount of the palmoinim was 72 or 36, that is the same machloikis concerning the maris negoyim, concerning the different appearances, the different shades of color, the different appearances of the nigei tzaras. It's not, as we learn in the Mishnah in Negoyim, Maris Negoyim, how many different appearances of Negoyim are there? Rabbi Doisa ben Hurkanis Omer Lamed Vav. Rabbi Doisa ben Hurkanis says that there are 36. That's like his Shita. Rabbi Doisa said over here also that it's 36 Pa'amoyim, that there were 36 bells on the Me'il. Akavi ben Mahalal Olaimer Shivim Ushnaim. Akavi ben Mahalal says that there were 72 Maris Negoyim. He would hold here as well, like the Tanakhama does, that there is a total of 72 Pa'amoyim. Taisa says that the relationship between the two is not coincidental, but rather, as we see in this Gemara, later on in the Gemara says that the Me'il is Mechaper on Lashon Hara, and the Goyim, Nigei Tzaraas, are also Mechaper on Lashon Hara, and therefore there's a relationship between the two. And whenever the amount of Maris Negoyim, it's the same amount of Pamoinim on the Me'il, the Dover Shebekol, the part which makes the noise, which makes the sound on the Me'il, that is what is Mechaper on Lashon Hara, as the Gemara says, Yovei Dover Shebekol V'Yechaper Al Kol, and therefore it is the same amount as Maris Negoyim, whether it's 72 or 36. Now, the cheshbon of the Maris Negoyim, whether they are 36 or 72, we know that there are four basic Maris Negoyim, four different shades of white. However, Tosfos says here that here the cheshbon of 36 or a 72 is counting all different shades of white and mixed with red, and also concerning all the different kinds of Negoyim of a person, and also Nigei Begodim and Nigei Botim. The Bar Tanura in Negoyim explains this, and says that basically we know that there are four shades of white, the Dalad Maris Negoyim. Now these are actually eight because any of these four shades can also be psuchim, they can be mixed with red. So there's a total of eight different colors which can be a Mara of Negoyim, and these are to be applied to four different kinds of Negoyim of a person. Those are Nigei or Basa, the Negoyim on a person's skin, Nigei Shechinu Michva, the Nega that develops on a wound either after the healing of a blow or of a burn. So this is the second category. The third category is Nesek, that where the hair becomes bald and where it's still surrounded by hair, a bald spot in the hair. And the fourth is Karachas Zegabachas, whether he's actually balding completely from the front or from the back. So there are four different categories of Negoyim, says the Bar Tanura, at least that's the way this Mishnah is counting it. So there are four different categories, and each one is eight different shades of color, because there's four different shades of white, and each one of those can be mixed with red. So that's a total of four times eight, which is 32. And then there are two different colors for Nigei Begodim, and two different colors for Nigei Botim. So that's a total of 36. And the reason why Rabbi Akavya ben Mahalal counts this as 72 is because he counts this twice. The possibility of seeing these colors the first time that the Kohen comes to check the Nega, and the possibility of seeing these same shades the second time after the period of Hesker, after the waiting period, when the Kohen comes back again to look at them. So this he counts as 2, therefore he counts it 72. Masha Enkin Rabbi Doisa counts it as 36. So this then is the total of the possibility of Maris Negoyim. That's how the Bar Tanura explains that Mishnah there. And our Gemara is saying that this corresponds whether we count there 72 or we count 36, though in fact it's the same thing. But it's a question of whether we count it as 36 or count it as 72 depends on how many Pamoinim there were on the Me'il. Continues the Gemara of Omer Rabbi Inini Bar Sosin. And Rabbi Inini Bar Sosin said, Loma nismacha parshas karbonis of parshas big de kahuna. Why is the parsha of the karbonis in proximity to the parsha of the big de kahuna? In parshas tzav, we find that the beginning of the parsha deals with all the different karbonis, as teresa oilas, as teresa chatas, osham, all the different karbonis, and then it goes into a description of the sanctification of the kohanim and their begodim, of how they are to be mekayim the mitzvah of wearing their begodim. So why is there a proximity between the two? Loma v'chatzitich issue. Ma korbonis mechaper, just as the korbonis are mechaper, they atone for averis, af big de kahuna mechaperin. So also the big de kahuna are mechaper. The fact that the kohenim are wearing the big de kahuna, that itself is mechaper. And now he is going to describe what the eight begotten that were worn by the kohen gadol, on which averis those eight begotten are mechaper. Ksoinis mechaperos al shvichustam. The ksoinis, that's the tunic which is worn next to the skin, a shirt like a long shirt, that is mechaper on shvichus dam, on the spilling of blood on ritzicha. Where do we learn this? From Shnemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayishchatu si'ir izim, Vayitbulu esakutaynes badam, that the brothers of Yosef, they shechted a goat, and they dipped the shirt, they dipped this kutaynes into the blood. So Rashi says, we darshan this, Vayitbulu, that to be maskil something, to dip something, also means to be mechaper, also means to atone for something, that we atone through the kutaynes for the blood, that the kutaynes is an atonement for the spilling of blood. Michnasayim, mechaperes al gilui arayis. The michnasayim, the pants that were worn by the kohenim, is mechaper on gilui arayis. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, vasei lehem michnasei vad lechasis psar erva. Make for them pants of linen to cover up the flesh of erva of nakedness. So lechasis means to cover up, also means to atone for, to cover up the avera of arayis of erva. Mitznefes, the hat which is worn, is mechaperes al gasei haruach. That's mechaper on those who are haughty of spirit. Minayin, how do we know this? Omer Rabbi Chanina said, Yovei dover shebegoiva, something which is on high shall come. This is the mitznefes, it's worn on the top of the head. It should come v'yechaper al goiva, and it is mechaper on highness, on haughtiness. Abnate mechaper al hirhur halev. The abnate, the belt which was worn around the ksoinis, that is mechaper on evil thoughts, on the thoughts of the heart. How do we know that that's what it is mechaper on? Heicha de'isei, where it is. As Rashi explains, because this avnate, he girded himself, the kohen girded himself with the avnate, not around the waist, but rather on the upper part of the torso, near the area of the heart. So we know that this is mechaper on hirhur halev. Choshen, the breastplate, is mechaper al hadin, that's mechaper on dinim, on mishpat, on justice. Shenemar, as it says, v'yasiso choshen mishpat, you shall make a breastplate of judgment. So we learn from this pasuk that it is mechaper on anything that was done wrong concerning mishpat. Ephod mechaper al avodes kechavim, the ephod, this apron-like garment which was worn by the kohen gadol on top of the me'il, is mechaper on avodes zara. Shenemar, as it says, ein ephod utrofim. Rashi learns that we are darshing this pasuk that ein ephod, that when the ephod is absent, when there is no ephod to be mechaper, then utrofim, then there are idols, then the sin of idols is invisited. But where there is ephod, it is mechaper on the trofim, on the idol, on avodes zara. Me'il, the upper garment, is mechaper al lashon hara. That's mechaper on lashon hara. Minayin, how do we know this? Rabbi Chanina said, Yovei dover shebekol v'yechaper al kol hara. That something which makes a sound should come. The me'il is the only one of the big dikuna which makes any kind of sound because it has those bells that make a sound. It should come and it should be mechaper al kol hara, on an evil sound, on the sound of lashon hara that was spoken by Klal Yisra. The tzitz mechaper al azus ponim, and the tzitz which is worn by the kohen gadol on the forehead of the kohen gadol, that is mechaper on brazenness, on the sin of azus ponim. The tzitz ksiv, how do we know this? Because concerning the tzitz, it says, v'hoya al meitzach aron, that shall be on the forehead of aron, uba azus ponim ksiv, and concerning brazenness, it says in the pasuk, umeitzach isha zayna hoyulach, that you have had the forehead of an isha zayna. You have been as brazen as an isha zayna. So this, we use the word meitzach as a reference to brazenness, to azus panim, and since the seat is on the metzach, we're told to put it on the metzach of Aaron, we know that it is mechaper for azus panim, for brazenness of the face. The Gemara asks, Eini, is this then so? It comes out that we learned in this brisa that the ksainis is mechaper on shvichus damim, and that the me'il is mechaper on lashon hara. V'ha'am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Shnei dvarim lo matzino lehen kapara v'karbonis. There are two sins for which we don't find any kapara in the korbonis. There's no korban which is brought for these averis to be mechaper on them. U'matzino lo kapara mimakam acha, but we find a kapara for these averis someplace else. V'eilu heim, and these are they, shvichus stamim, for lashon hara, these two averis, the averis shvichus stamim of ritzicha, of murder, and lashon hara. Shvichus Damim, me Egla Rupa. There's no carbon that's ever brought for Shvichus Damim, but there is an Egla Rupa. When a dead person is found, and we don't know who killed him, that an Egla Rupa is brought. That's, of course, not a carbon, but it is Mechaper on Shvichus Damim. Lashon Hara Miktairis, and the Lashon Hara has a kapara through the Ktairis. We don't find any particular carbon which is Mechaper on Lashon Hara, but the Ktairis is Mechaper on Lashon Hara. Datani Rav Chananya, the Rav Chananya said, Minayim Liktairis Shemechaperis. How do we know that the Ktairis is Mechaper, that it's Mechaper on Chet? Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayitin es HaKtairis Vayechaper al Ha'om, that he placed the Ktairis and he was mechaper on the people. That Aaron saw that the people were dying because of their chet, that after Korach and his assembly had been killed, they then complained to Moshe and Aaron, to Mamitim and Sam Hashem, you have killed the people of Hashem. And they were dying, and Aaron put the Ktaris, and he was mechaper on them. So we see that the Ktaris is mechaper. And Rashi adds that that also was Lashon Hara, because they spoke bad about Moshe and Aaron. V'tonit ve Rabbi Yishmol omak Ktaris mechaperet. And we learned from the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmol on what is Ktaris mechaper, a Lashon Hara. It's mechaper on the particular Aveira of Lashon Hara. And there too was a sin of Lashon Hara. Yovei dovashe b'chashoi v'yichaper omayisi chashoi. Let something which is done in private, the Ktaris is done in private, when the Kohen is makter the Ktaris in the Heichal, no one is allowed to be in the Heichal. They even have to separate from the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. They have to keep away from the Heichal completely. So it's done b'chashoy, it's done in private. V'yichaper omayisi chashoy, let it be mechaper on an Aveira, which is done in private. Because normally Lashon Hara is also done in private. Two people get together, they make sure that no one hears, and they tell something bad about the other person. So that's ma'isa chashoy. So therefore we know that the Ktaris is mechaper for Lashon Hara. Says the Gemara, Kashya Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara, Kashya Shvichus Damim, Shvichus Damim. We have a contradiction from Lashon Hara to Lashon Hara. We learned before that the big de kahuna, that the Mi'il is Mechaper on Lashon Hara, and here we are learning that it's the Ktairis that's Mechaper on Lashon Hara, and a Kashya Shvichus Damim, Shvichus Damim. We have a contradiction about Shvichus Damim. We learned that the Ksainis is Mechaper on Shvichus Damim, and here we are learning that it is the Egla Rufa which is Mechaper on Shvichus Damim. Says the Gemara, Shvichus Damim, Shvichus Damim, Loi Kashya, that Shvichus Damim to Shvichus Damim is not a contradiction. Hodi Yediya Man Katle, Hodi Lo Yediya Man Katle. One is in a case where we know who killed him, then there is no parsha of Egla Arufa, and then the Ksainis is Mechaper on the Shvichus Damim. But Hodi Lo Yediya Man Katle, the Egla Arufa is Mechaper when we don't know who killed him, as it says in the parsha. It's when we find someone dead and we don't know who killed him, then there is a parsha of Egla Arufa. The Gemara asks, Idi Yediya Man Katle, Bar Ktolahu. If we know who killed him, then that person is to be put to death. And without him being put to death, there is no kapara. The La'aret Lo Yehupar Ki'im B'dam Shoyevchoy. That it can only be an atonement by killing the person who actually committed this murder. So if we know who killed him, we have to kill that person. Without that, there is no kapara. How can we say that the Ksainis is Mechaper on Shvichus Damim when we know who did the murder? Says the Gemara, B'mezid V'loyastrobe. It's speaking about a case of Mezid, because in a case of Shoygig, there's Golis. But it's speaking about a case of Mezid V'loyastrobe, but there was no Hasra, there was no actual warning, which would make him liable to an actual Mises Bezid. So if there was Hasra, then the Kapara is only if he is killed. But if there was no Hasra, then there's a Kapara through the Ksainis. And if we don't know who the killer was, then the Kapara of Egla Rufa was given. Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara, Nami Loikashia. Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara is also not a contradiction. Habetzina, Habefarhesia. The Ktairis is Mechaper Betzina when the Lashon Hara was done secretly, privately. As we said, Dover Shebechashoy is Mechaper on Maisa Chashoy. But Habefarhesia, the Kapora of the Me'il, which is Dover Shebechol, something that makes a sound, that's Mechaper on Lashon Hara, which was done, the Farhesia, which was done out in the open, which had a loud voice. Then we say that this Dover Shebekol of the Mi'il, the Pamainim of the Mi'il, is Mechaper on the Lashon Hara of the Farhesia.